In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When the wise men departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Merry Christmas. But considering the readings before us today and the celebration of St. Stephen, first martyr the day after Christmas, and the slaughter of the holy innocents on December 28th, these are rather somber stories. And on this rare second Sunday after Christmas, Joseph's dreams can best be described as nightmares. For it was the angel of the Lord who appeared to him in a dream when he was contemplating divorcing his wife. "Do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, one dream after another, to avoid the murderous plots of King Herod, they're to take the young child to Egypt. To avoid Archelaus, the son of Herod the Great, they are to take the child not into Judea, but into Galilee. Joseph didn't ask for any of this. And we're not told at all the emotional content of his life because of it. But he's a man of faith who simply walks on the path that the Lord had set before him. And for it, he would endure much hardship and suffering. Merry Christmas. One could ask the question, how can one be merry with so much evil, suffering, and death in the world? The second Sunday after Christmas presents us with these sober readings. Jacob, in the Old Testament reading, must leave the land of promise to sojourn in Egypt. That's not a coincidence why it was chosen for today, because of the Holy Family's sojourn in Egypt. Jacob would never return to Canaan, except in a coffin after his son Joseph closed his eyes. He would be buried in the cemetery of his fathers in the land of Canaan, but he would never live there again. It's not what Jacob wanted. There was a famine. The Lord called him to go. And the Lord promised, "I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again." There's a parallel between the infant Jesus then being sent to Egypt and then God the Father calling him out of Egypt. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Some of the things that happen in our life are the results of a long series of tangled events of weakness, pride, doubt, and sin. Think about Jacob for a moment. In Jacob's early days, he conspired, if you remember, to obtain the birthright and blessing of his older brother Esau. He had to leave the land of Canaan then too after the death of Isaac because Esau promised to murder him. Then there was Uncle Laban, remember? He turned the tables on the master double-crosser Jacob, giving Jacob his eldest daughter Leah rather than his younger daughter Rachel. Jacob would work another 7 years to obtain the woman he really wanted. But the result of it all? There was strife between his wives and their children that continued on up until the selling of Joseph into slavery by his sons. Looking back upon his life, I am sure for Jacob that there were many things that happened, not at all the way he had hoped or planned. Perhaps you can say the same thing about your life. It's not what I would have planned. It's not the path I would have chosen. But as the Lord promised to be with Jacob, sinner though he was, the Lord makes such a promise to you in your baptism: follow me. Follow me. But I stumble, and sometimes I fall flat on my face. Follow me. Do not be afraid. I will go with you. And he makes that promise to us, not I'll go with you as long as you're always doing the right thing. No, I will go with you. Even when you screw up, I will go with you. Such is the promise that the Lord makes to us in our baptism. Think about Jacob again. Driven from his home because of an angry brother. Deception from an unscrupulous uncle. Children by no less than 4 women. That's never a good idea. And endless strife in the home, in large part because of it. The last decade or so before the famine that drove Jacob and his family into Egypt could be looked at as a period of relative calm for Jacob. But the reality is that they were marred by the incredible grief of the loss of his beloved son Joseph, whom he believed to have been killed by a wild animal, and his sons, who knew the truth, never disclosed the truth to him of what really happened. For Jacob, he thought he would see his son in this life no more. One could ask some questions. How much of all of this was Jacob's fault? Can we untangle the web to try to figure it out? If this had not happened, then this would not have happened, and that would not have happened, and things would have turned out much better for him. How much was he to blame for the circumstances of his life? It is not given us to figure out the answers to these questions. Instead, we are called to learn something from the word of the Lord to Jacob in the Old Testament reading for today. I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. That word of the Lord in Genesis 46 is a word of quintessential grace. Undeserved love, the mercy and compassion of God. And knowing the story of Jacob's life, I mean, it reads like any soap opera that you would watch on television today, what happened to Jacob and the events surrounding his entire family. It is a word of quintessential grace. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. I will go with you. Amazing. The Lord's word to Jacob, a word which sustained him in the circumstances of his life when nothing else would sustain him. is not unlike the promises that the Lord makes to us, his baptized Christians, in the New Testament. For example, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Think about that promise as applying to you in the midst of the deep struggles with sin in your own life. That God pledges to work for your good even when you fall on your face and mess up. Or the words of Jesus given after the institution of baptism at the end of Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." The only one who pledges eternal vigilance to us, faithfulness in his grace. Or the words of Jesus in the upper room to the disciples, "In this world you will have tribulation. Do not be afraid, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Please understand, it is not that the Lord endorsed the many times that Jacob fell prey to his sinful weaknesses. But it is true that God will use even our deepest failings to draw us closer to his Son. If you don't remember anything else for today, remember that. Some of the things that happen in our lives, like with Jacob, are absolutely the result of our own doing. But some of the things that happen to us in our life are no fault of our own. Yet they can result in horrendous grief and terrible suffering. Those who lost loved ones in the Waukesha Christmas parade did nothing to deserve their fate. The mothers whose babies, the children, were massacred by King Herod in the gospel for today were not at fault for the horrible evil that befell them. Jeremiah's words perhaps don't even begin to scratch the surface of the enormity of their grief when he prophesied Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. Those mothers, like so many others down through the centuries, experienced the satanic evil of having their children snatched from them. In this life, they would never get over the grief. It must be said that the Lord who went with Jacob throughout his earthly sojourn in the land of Egypt stood with those mothers. And it must also be said that he stands with you in your grief, in your sorrow, in your struggles with human weakness, temptation, doubt, unbelief, and sin. Even when it sins against you that are not your fault, he stands with you. The mystery of Christ's incarnation is that our Lord Jesus not only takes our sin upon himself, but he also takes upon himself every sin that has ever been committed against us, that injures us, that causes us deep heartache and sorrow. None of the evil, suffering, and sin of this life was God's fault. None of it. And yet the Son of God took the blame for all of it and went to the cross to redeem us from it. When you consider the gospel from Matthew 2 appointed for this second Sunday of Easter, of Christmas, it might appear as if the baby Jesus is escaping the evil of King Herod. Like everybody else suffers, but not him, not the Holy Family. Can you imagine what Mary and Joseph were going through as they heard reports about what was happening in Judea at the hands of the wicked tyrant? Or it might seem as if they were escaping when they were warned to flee from Archelaus, King Herod's son, and settle in Galilee in the small village of Nazareth. None of the evil, suffering, and sin of this life was God's fault. And yet the Son of God took the blame for it. The infant Christ did not avoid being touched by the evil that touches our lives. He bore it all the evil of this world, all of the suffering that you and I brought upon ourselves by my fault, by my own most grievous fault, and also all of the suffering that comes into our life, yours and mine, through no fault of my own. The Lord Jesus has borne it all for you. And this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what we must teach our children. Or we cannot have a merry Christmas or understand the source of merriment in the face of suffering and death. We must take the time to explain to our children how Adam and Eve rebelled against God. That's why there's evil in the world. That's why there's such darkness. How Adam and Eve brought sin and death into the world. How when mankind completely rejects God and all that is good according to his word, the result is the murderous kind of evil we see in Waukesha or that we see in Matthew chapter 2 when Herod massacred these innocent children. If we don't teach our children these things, then we cannot teach them what God's love for the fallen world is all about. For us as Christians, like Jacob before us, and like the Holy Family who had the responsibility of caring for the infant Jesus thrust upon them, the Lord promises to go with us through sin, suffering, doubt, fear, and death to draw us closer to himself. And to bring us to a better promised land than the land of Canaan, we need to teach our children these things. This is what Christmas is all about. It's about staring the harshest and soberest realities of this sinful world squarely in the face and understanding that in the manger crib and in the cross of Jesus, this is the light that transcends the darkness and pierces the night and gives us hope and peace. It is what Isaiah prophesied. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so in the epistle for this second Sunday after Christmas, the Apostle Peter encourages us not to lose heart, but to rejoice in Christ's birth because he goes with us through suffering to death and resurrection, and we are joined to him from the moment of our baptism to the last breath we breathe. Beloved, he writes, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.